communication and stuff like that. But for you that are here tonight, I want to look at these words. These three words are be not deceived. Be not deceived. Those three words are found five times in the Bible. If God says something five times, He really, really wants to help us. If God says something one time, it's enough for us to look out. If God says something two times, you ever notice how the Lord, sometimes He'd say, verily I say unto you, and then other times He'd say, verily, verily I'd say unto you. Well, I'm telling you, He'd say, surely, surely, absolutely, positively, listen to this. Three times, sometimes He'd say it. Five times in the Bible, the words, be not deceived. Some of you may have these in your notes from years ago, but I'm going to hit it from a different angle tonight than I ever have before. First of all, take your Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, and we'll look here at the first time. Well, we'll just run through these right quick tonight. The word deceive means to make somebody believe something that is not true. Once again, the word deceive means to make somebody believe something that is not true, to mislead. According to that, there's a lot of deceiving going on. To mislead somebody. Somebody said the time we're living in is the age of deception. That characterizes our generation, the age of deception. As a matter of fact, everything we've learned how to counterfeit everything. You don't know if anything's real anymore. Wood. Now this is real wood here, but some of the stuff like this right here, you can take your fingernails and peel that off on some of this wood. It's veneer. And we've learned how to make fake wood. We've learned how to make artificial lights. We've learned how to about fake everything. And we've learned how to fake church. We've learned how to fake politics. We've learned how to fake husband and wife roles. Just fake or deceive. I remember one time I was in Florida a long time ago, and I was just young, just started preaching. And I've been reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible. And there was one of them Florida blondes walked across the parking lot. And Florida blondes, what we used to call, there's millions of them in Florida, that their roots are black, that's real blonde. And I remember saying, Lord, I sat there in the parking lot and I seen this woman go across the parking lot and I said, Lord, you said in the Bible, thou canst not make one hair white or black. She did. And the Lord said, but look at the roots. Look at the roots. And I said, oh yeah, okay. They're coming. Like one girl, her boyfriend told her, he said, you've got pretty blonde hair. He said, why'd you dye your roots black? And that's what she was. She was one of them, a counterfeit. She was a fake. She was deceiving, trying to deceive. Let's look here at the first time you see this in Deuteronomy chapter 11 tonight. And let me just show you something here in verse 16. Deuteronomy 11, 16. Take heed to yourself. See it? Deuteronomy 11, 16. Take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. There's your first time. First time in the Bible. Be not deceived. That your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods, little g, and worship them. So the first time in the Bible these three words are mentioned, the Lord is telling you, watch out that you don't go and serve other gods. Ladies and gentlemen, the first time the word be not deceived in the Bible, God has given you a warning not to worship any other god beside Him. Now, we're warned about this. We're told about this. You say, well, preacher, we all know there's one God. Yes, we do. But you'd be surprised how biggest part of the world tonight worships many gods, other gods. As a matter of fact, anything that comes between you and God is another god. Anything that's got your heart's desire or attention more than the Lord has become a mini god. You can make a god out of anything. You can make a god out of a hobby, out of a of yourself, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your money, your job, your house, your kids, your parents, your career, your sports, anything. You can make a god, anything. The word worship means an extreme love and adoration for. You see people at a rock concert, they're worshiping. According to the definition of the dictionary, they are worshiping. Extreme admiration. Extreme admiration. Ah, that's extreme admiration, brother. I mean, there's more worship goes on at a high school or a college basketball game or a football than there is in most churches. If you want the definition of worship. Worshiping don't mean you just come and sit there like your mother-in-law just moved in with you and like somebody just died in your family. And then, brother, worshiping means, and it don't necessarily mean you scream and holler either, but it means your heart adores God and adores the Lord. You get to sitting there and you start thinking, those songs we were singing at the cross where I first saw the light. My mind goes back to this church the night I got saved when I was 18 years old and my heart starts worshiping. See, you can worship God without your hands, without your feet. You can be paralyzed and worship God, but it's got to come from the heart and worship the Lord. I believe in raising your hands and all that. It's biblical to do that, but you don't have to do that. And just because you do that does not mean you're worshiping God. I want to say the Bible said don't go after other gods. We are living in a time when people are making a god out of everything. I mentioned sports, and I love sport. I don't love sports. There's only one as far as I'm concerned. The rest of them, he's trying to get me to play baseball, and I'd say, hey, baseball ain't a sport. It's just something to do to basketball season. That's what I believe. And I still, as far as I'm concerned, there ain't but one. But, you know, people make a god out of sports. Them boys back there in the teenage class this morning, I was back there and all them boys in there, they all had their tennis shoes on and everything. And I said, look, boys, y'all might as well just get right with God because ain't none of y'all going to be a professional athlete. And people say, well, I believe if you just teach them, if they can do anything, if they can believe it. Listen, some kids can't do anything. I can't do anything. You can't do anything. I can believe all I want to, and I can't take a quarter off the top of the backboard. I mean, it don't matter what I believe. It don't matter if I exercise 24 hours a day. It can't be done. You know what you better teach your kids to do? Worship God. Worship God. Let the Lord be the hero. Honor the Lord. Put him first, and he'll bless you for it. Amen? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we not to make other gods. We are not to make other gods. We are not to make other gods. One of the biggest gods in America are religion, education, and sports. Religion, education, and sports. Tonight, I was thinking the other day about the environmental movement. You realize the environmental movement is something the devil has raised up, and big minds around the world have conjured up the environmental movement to bring us under slavery so that they can one day control the world. That's where it's headed. One day, some of y'all, I gave Josh here tonight, and I gave Brother Mike, some of y'all, the tape, the CD by Tom DeWeese. I got some of them here. Tom DeWeese heads up an organization, and it's called, he talks about Agenda 21. And Agenda 21 is basically coming down from heads of governments in the UN, basically coming down to us that they can stop. For example, they were building a highway up in Maryland, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Somebody thought they saw a frog in the area that was on the endangered species list. They thought they saw a frog that was on the endangered, some kind of yellow spotted frog or something. And they thought they saw one. They called the whole project off lest they might kill one of them frogs. Now listen, these people are out running around loose. They're making our laws. Here's a highway going through for progress so people can live and make a living, and we're calling a $1 million project off because we're afraid that we might squash a frog. Now listen, let me preach some old-fashioned sense into you tonight. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with squishing a frog. There's plenty of them. God made millions of them. And if one species of a frog becomes extinct, it is not the end of the world. Who cares? I mean, brother, dinosaurs are extinct. You don't miss them, do you? Do you miss dinosaurs? I'm sort of glad there ain't no dinosaurs. Thank God they ain't nothing as big as one of them buses out there roaming around in the parking lot. Hallelujah, they're gone. God knows when to let something become extinct. He knows when to let trees go bad. He knows when to let animals. It ain't going to make a big deal. They thought They saw a frog. That's the truth. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people with a college education saying we can't have this road built because you know where that junk comes from? That junk comes from saying that man is an animal and the environment is our God and we worship the world and the atmosphere and the trees and the frog and we hug trees, have funerals for trees. That's right. They're having funerals for trees, people. Listen, when you start having funerals for trees, you need to go check in over yonder somewhere. Get you a room. And they'll put you in a padded cell somewhere and so you won't hurt yourself. I'm telling you, brother, your brain's gone. I preached out in Colorado somewhere and they said, oh, don't cut trees. Oh, don't cut trees. I said, well, I can imagine if you lived around here, you might believe that. But I said, if you believe we're running out of trees, come to North Carolina, brother. They millions of them. There's enough trees. God's got it fixed so that when there's a forest fire, enough grows back. He's always done that. The Lord taking care of that. There's enough trees between here and Knoxville to build everybody in North Carolina a log cabin. I mean, they millions and millions and millions of them. God did not make man for trees. God made trees for man. God did not make man for animals. God made animals. I was preaching one night in a church somewhere. I said something about shooting a deer, somebody going deer hunting, and they got all upset with me. This lady got mad. I said, you know, I said, it don't matter if you shoot Bambi. Bam! And this woman got tore all to pieces. She thought I was awful. She said, how did you say that? And I said, listen, lady, you know what your problem is? You've sat around and watched them movies and them cartoons to where you think deer have a personality because they talk in them cartoons. I love you too. I don't want to die. You know, deer don't have a personality. Deer don't talk to each other like that. God, their brain is teeny weeny, leeny, weeny, weeny, weeny. And God told people that he put the animals here on this earth for man's use and consumption, not before the fall. Before sin came in the world, man was vegetarian. And then God allowed him to eat meat. We'll go through that sometime, go all the way through the Bible about eat what you can eat and what you can't eat and the reason for it. But I'm telling you, we have made a God out of the environment. I have a friend of mine preaching out there in Colorado somewhere, and they got these, they said they was trying to get all the churches to save the whales because all these whales had come up out of the ocean and got beached. They beached whales. They got up there and couldn't get back in. These stupid whales swam up there, you know, and got up there on the sand, and they were just laying there. Now, honestly, I feel sorry for him. I hate seeing things suffer. But he got on the radio, and he said, look, He said, look, we are not going to go out there and fool with them stupid whales. He said, that is not what God. They all said, Mother Earth would have us. Our mother is the earth. He said, the earth ain't your mother. And they about died of a heart attack. And he's right. He said, the earth ain't your mother. He said, I spit on your mother today. And they like to have a heart attack. I mean, listen, brother, the earth ain't our mother. That ain't Mother Earth. It's Father God. That's where we come from. God didn't call us to clean the environment. Every once in a while I go down the road and I see a sign that says, this road has been adopted by such and such Baptist church youth. And they think that they're serving the Lord by all the kids getting together on Saturday morning and going out and picking up beer cans that sinners throwed out Friday night. They think we're serving the Lord. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, brother. It'll be snowing you know where when we think we're called to God to go pick up beer cans that sinners throwed out. You know what God called us to do? He called us to go to that sinner's house. Knock on the door, tell them how to get saved, and they'll get born again. Then they'll quit throwing out beer cans. Ain't that right? We are called to minister the gospel. We are not called to save Mother Earth. I can prove what I'm saying. You know what God thinks about the environment? 2 Peter chapter 3 said the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. He's going to burn it up. All the mountains, all the trees, he'll burn it up and create a new one of these days. The Lord hates the environment. Isn't that awful? I'm telling you something, brother. It is not God. We don't worship the environment. We worship the God that made the environment. We don't worship the trees and the rocks and the flowers. You say, what do you think about littering? I think it's a sin to throw down a piece of paper inside of a $20,000 car. I believe tonight, brother, that God made us to worship him. Just kidding with you. Don't get all bent out of shape. I'm just trying to make you think straight. The world make you think backwards. I'm trying to level you out and make you think straight tonight. Listen, people, we worship God. Worship God. Honor the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and put him first. And all God's people say it. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you something, brother. We worship food. We worship the flesh. We worship all kind of crazy stuff in this world. I heard about somebody in one of these communities out west somewhere reported there was a bear got up a tree. You know, sometimes them bears get up there and can't get back down. Big bear. And they called in everybody. They called in a biologist, and they called these scientists from the university. They all come out there, and they was trying to get it down, and they tried shooting them little darts where it just pierces the skin and knocks them out, you know, and they thought, well, he'll fall down. And they had nets underneath here, and they was all going to catch him so he wouldn't get killed. And there's only, I mean, if they cared that much about a kid that lived in a trailer park, you know, it'd be a different world, wouldn't it? Oh, they had to save that bear. And that old bear, boy, I'm telling you, they looked up that thing. They stayed out there for hours. And finally they said, the only way we're going to do it, we hate to do it, but we're going to have to cut this tree. We hate to do it. And so they cut the tree a little bit, and they was going to let the tree just fall down a little. Well, when it got down, it was a trash bag. Big black trash bag. That's the truth. And they spent no telling how much money trying to get the trash bag down out of the top of a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living, you call that circular reasoning, which is indicated by the forefinger making circles around the temple. That's what that means. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that we are living in a time where we are making a God out of everything. The Bible said, take heed that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside after other gods. Teach our kids to worship God. Teach our family to worship God. We do not worship men. We do not worship the creation. We worship the Creator. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 21. Let me show you a second one right quick. We'll move through these right quick. May not even get to all of them tonight. I'll just show you something right quick. Luke chapter 21. Let me show you the second time the words be not deceived are mentioned in the Bible. Luke 21 verse 8. Luke 21 verse 8. Here's the second time them three words are. Look at verse 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. He wouldn't say that if there wasn't a possibility of it. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So the second be not deceived is warning us of false Christ that will come in his name. He said, the Lord said, watch out, you'll follow these false Christs. People like Charles Manson, people like that Jim Jones down at Jonestown. I mean, when that happened, 900 people lay on their stomach dead from drinking that Kool-Aid. Charles Manson and his group and those murders. You know Charles Manson claimed to be Jesus? He'd sit in a courtroom like this, you know, and look around like that, you know, and he'd say, I've already died for y'all's sins one time. I'm not going to do it again. I mean, just, man, he's demon-possessed. And they don't understand that Jesus said they would come. Somebody counted, there's 1,100 men in the world tonight who claim to be Jesus Christ. I've got one on my videos of a guy down there in somewhere down there in Puerto Rico somewhere. This guy has a large following, an internet ministry of every day, thousands of people that follow him, money flowing in like crazy, and he says, I'm Jesus. He wears a big 666 right here on his shirt, and he's sitting at a bar drinking with some of his church members, and he said, I am Jesus. I am come to pull. I'm the second coming of Christ. And those people just, oh, oh. You know what the Lord said? Take heed that you be not deceived. I'm going to tell you something. That guy is not Jesus. You say, how are you so sure? Because when Jesus comes, he said, no, you ain't going to be low, he is here. Low, he is there. When Jesus comes, he comes in the air, and gravity's going to lose its hold on us. We're going to leave this world and go up where he is. When it's Jesus, you want to ask him who he is. He won't even have to tell you who he is. You will know when Jesus comes, people, because of he'll jerk you out of this world and take you home. And so the Bible said, take heed about false Christ and false. Them boys down there in Florida who blew up that abortion clinic said God told them to do it. A lot of people kill people and say, God told me to kill you. There's a guy down in Forest City not too long ago. Said, He come flying down Main Street, hit a car, blam, hit another, blam, flipped his car upside down, and he got out, and a crowd of people gathered around. He started shaking hands saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, God told him to go flying down the street and hit all them cars and turn his car upside down. You see, just because somebody says, God told me something. We're living in a crazy world, people. You don't believe it? Watch Christian TV for a little while. Son, they some nuts. I heard one on there talking to money one night. He's on there talking to money. I command you, $100 bill. I command you. I thought, that $100 bill can hear him. He said, I command you, come in. Come in, $100 bill. I thought, you're crazy, man. They need to lock you up somewhere. $100 bills can't hear you preaching. Bible said, take heed, lest your heart be deceived. My favorite one, you know, is where they had them years ago. They had 18 Mexicans in a Grand Am. That's true. That's true. It's on TV. 18 Spanish people was in a Grand Am, a Pontiac Grand Am, naked. That's all naked. 18 naked Mexicans in a Grand Am. Now, I don't even want to think about that. Grandma, grandpa, little kids. Can you imagine being smashed up in there? I mean, with grandma in summertime. And they run off the road and hit a tree and had a wreck. And the cops came. So what's wrong with you people? They was going to a camp meeting somewhere down Mississippi somewhere. And they said, God told us to take our clothes off because they got demons in them. That was on the news. You know they'll put that on the news. You know they'll put something like that on the news to make Christians look stupid. And the guys, I said, no, you got it wrong, buddy. You don't take your clothes off to get rid of demons. You put your clothes on to get rid of the demons. The guy in the Bible who had demons was naked, and the Lord cast the demons out, and then he was clothed sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? So people get it all backwards in their head. I can't imagine. My mamma and little kids, I mean, in the glove compartment, trunk, everything. 18 in a Grand Am. My kid's story I never will forget. He said these guys was sitting out in front of a rest home back when streaking was popular. Remember when everybody was streaking back? Most of y'all don't remember it. Back in the 70s or something, all the hippies streaking. You took off all your clothes and you run across the parking lot or something, just like being an idiot. And these two old guys were sitting out in front of a rest home rocking like that. And these two old grandmas, about 85, decided, they said, well, one time in our life, we're going to do it. And they just took her clothes off and struck across the yard. And these two old men were sitting there rocking like that. And one of them said, what in the world was that, Harry? He said, I don't know, but it sure needed ironing. That's what I think of when I think of them naked Mexicans in a grand. I will tell you something tonight. Listen, brother, this world crazy. You would honestly be a nutcase if it wasn't for the Bible keeping you straight and sane and right with God. Thank God the Lord said, be not deceived. Somebody said, well, somebody said, he done a miracle. That don't mean nothing. Somebody said, the Antichrist will call down fire from heaven. You listen? It's got to line up with a book. Be not deceived. False Christ. False prophet. I tell you, here's how messed up the world is. Shows how the devil's in charge. Y'all heard this week about Katy Perry got in trouble because she made a new video. I hadn't seen the video. I just saw it on Fox News. I think it's on CNN. Katy Perry made a video, and it's a setting of Islam, some Muslims, and some guy on there has a Muslim symbol about this big around his neck, and somehow or another he gets melted. He just struck by lightning or something, and the guy melts, and there's an outrage. How many saw that on news? Raise your hand, please. Saw that? Several of you? And there's an outrage from the Muslim community saying, "It's make her quick, make her take that out." And I heard that they made her take that out of the video. I'm sitting there the whole time thinking they are flipping their lid because she had a Muslim sign that they felt was disrespected. And we got millions of Christians in this country. Marilyn Manson stands and rips the pages out of the Bible and throws it out, and they spit on it and everything else. And the news don't say one word. Where's CNN? Where's Fox? Where's The View? Where's fair and balanced? You know what? There's a spirit controlling the media that will not let Jesus Christ get glory and is against everything God's for and is what. You don't doubt that, buddy. Don't doubt that. We're on heathen territory. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. I don't have a complex tonight. I'm just realistically telling you that the world is against God and against this Bible. You know what's wrong with all of these little feel-good, do-good, everybody's wonderful churches? They're trying to make God cool so the world will accept him, and it can't be done, brother. It cannot be done. You will accept the Lord on his terms, according to his word, or you'll die without God and spend eternity in hell. That's just the way it is. And every real Bible preacher will tell you that. False Christ. Lord, I got videos where they cuss, use every kind of four-letter vile language imaginable about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Where's the outcry? Where's Christian people? How come that ain't on the news? I'm always wondering. They're always talking about these kids killing their parents and everything. Put the music lyrics up there and you'll see why they do it. I got them at home. I preach it. And these people on the internet, I mean, do everything to threaten to kill me. You know, that one rock group's got my preaching on their CD. I've seen some of their CDs in Gatlinburg. And I'm telling you, they hate us because we take a stand. Jesus said, marvel not if they hate you. They hated me before they hated you. Watch out for a preacher that the world likes. You listening? Watch out for a preacher that the world likes. They kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, let's move on right quickly. I'm going to say this and I'll hush. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'll get this one more and we'll stop and maybe do the rest of them next time. Galatians chapter number 6 and look at verse 7. This is the third time the three words "be not deceived" are in the Bible. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The third "be not deceived" in the Bible is God's law of sowing and reaping. The Lord said, whatever you sow, you'll reap. Don't be deceived. A lot of people are deceived. They think, I just get out here and go do anything I want to and there's no consequences. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Young people think, man, I can get drunk. I can stay up 2 or 3 days high on drugs. I'm tough. It ain't going to hurt. Check back with them in a few years. There's always reaping. If you put corn in the ground, corn is going to come up. If you put potatoes in the ground, potatoes are going to come up. If you put onions in the ground, I done seen my neighbors done plowing their garden. I thought, hallelujah, man. It's getting summertime, glory to God. And you know what? Whatever you put in there is going to come up. Your life's the same way. Life's the same way, teenagers. You listen? Whatever you put in, that's what's going to come back on you one of these days. Whatever you put in, that's what's going to come back on you. I think about all them thousands and thousands and thousands of nights that I've traveled and preached, and I've tried to do my best, and I've preached all over this country and other countries, and I've preached for ever since I was 19 years old, and I've screamed and hollered, and you know what? Every once in a while, the Lord lets me reap them benefit. Every once in a while, my crop comes in. I told you what my girls did this morning and how God saved them and had my grandkids up here singing in a choir this morning. And God's been good. God's been good because way back there, you plant them seeds. Now, the opposite's true, too. You sow bad seeds, they'll come up on you, too. Don't think you can get away with it. Some people think that they can just live any old way and there's no consequences. He said, well, one man told me, he said, I go out here and do wrong, but God will forgive me. That's true. Forgiveness ain't the issue. If I went out here tonight, and let's just say I got mad. Say y'all hurt my feelings. And I went out here and I went to Hickory or somewhere and got drunk. Got in a fight. I don't think I'm going to do that. I ain't never been drunk in my life. I don't even know what it feels like to be drunk. I've never done drugs. I've never done nothing like that in my life. Thank God the Lord stopped me from ever getting into anything like that. But let's just say I got drunk and I got in a fight and a guy cut me in the head and took my finger off. I can come back next Sunday and I can ask God to forgive me. And he will. But I ain't going to grow no new finger. I'll go around like that the rest of my life without that finger. There's always consequences. That's what kids don't understand. They say, Lord, forgive me. He sure will. The Lord forgive you and not hold it against you. But there's consequences. You reap whatever you sow. You reap whatever you sow. I'll give you this and I'm done. Listen to God's warnings. Some things you cannot do. You cannot sow bad habits and reap a good character. You cannot sow jealousy and hatred and reap love and friendship. You cannot sow, listen young people, you cannot sow wicked thoughts and reap a clean life. You cannot be up at night looking on that internet and listen to that dirty music and reap a clean life. It's impossible. You cannot sow wrong deeds and live a righteous life. You can't sow crime and get away with it. You can't sow dissipation and reap a healthy body. This old body will reap how you mistreat it. You can't sow crooked dealings and succeed indefinitely. Listen, you can't cheat people and do them wrong and succeed indefinitely. It'll come back to you. You can't sow self-indulgence and not show it in your face. You can't sow disloyalty and reap loyalty. You can't sow dishonesty and reap integrity. You can't sow disrespect and reap respect. You can't sow deception and reap confidence. You can't sow untidiness and reap neatness. You can't sow intemperance and reap sobriety and temperance. You can't sow indifference and reap nature's rewards. You can't sow mental or physical laziness and reap a responsible position in society. You can't sow cruelty and reap kindness. You can't sow wastefulness and reap thriftiness. You can't sow cowardice and reap courage. You can't sow destruction of other people's property and reap protection for your own. You can't sow greed and envy and reap generosity. You can't sow neglect of the Lord's house and reap strength in temptation. And you can't sow neglect of the Bible and reap a well-guided life. You see, you're depraved, and our heart and mind and conscience is depraved. And unless we spend time with the Bible and God, you're going to go the wrong way. You have to have that thing to keep you straight. That's why it's important to read your Bible every day and go to church every time you can. Be not deceived, friend. You cannot live right without that book and the Holy Spirit leading your life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I said one day, this little boy, his mama, he's supposed to be out planting seeds in the field, and he thought she wouldn't know it, and he just throwed them all in one hole and went swimming, and she never knew the difference until they all started coming up out of that one little spot, and he reaped it. I heard about a man up in the mountains one time. He ran over this girl, I think a young girl, and killed her, and they got him for manslaughter and put him in prison, and he's in prison about 8 or 10 years. Second-degree murder or something like that, murder with a vehicle. And when he got out, he didn't have no license, of course, and he was staggering up that same road drunk one night, and somebody come on and hit him and killed him. Same thing. Whatever you sow, that you'll reap. Boy, you know what? That'll make you want to do right. Because if you get out here and mess around and do wrong, you might reap it in your kids one day. It always comes back. What goes around comes around. Be not deceived, friend. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's talking. God's speaking to your heart tonight. Might be a good time in this sort of little quiet service here tonight. Might be a good time just to slip right out of your seat. Come down here and let's pray. We're not going to sing. They're just going to play softly for a few minutes. Might be a good time just to get down here and get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I want to live right. Lord, help me as a mama, as a daddy, as a teenager. Come on. Come on, just slide right here. Say, I mean, meet me down here at this altar and just say, Lord, I want in these days to sow the right thing. I want to sow the right thing as a husband. Amen. Amen. Others need to come. Others need to come. Come on. Come on. This is invitation. We're not going to sing. We're just going to pray here for a minute. Remain in prayer just a few minutes tonight. You might be sitting right there at your seat saying, Lord, help me to overcome that sin in my life, because I know I'm going to reap it. I know I'm going to reap it if I don't don't get things right. Help me, Lord, to reap it. Help me, Lord, to repent of it so I won't have to reap. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. How about the matter of a false God? You putting the Lord first? Are you honoring him tonight? He'll bless you if you are. He'll bless you if you are. Father, do what ought to be done now. Help every single person here tonight, God, to do the will of God. Thank you for these that have come. Pray that you bless them, bless their life. Have your way in our hearts tonight. God, do what ought to be done. Lord, I pray that you bless our church. Add to it daily such as should be saved. I pray the Holy Ghost come upon it. And Lord, may the power of God move in, move on, move around us, move through us this evening. God, do what ought to be done tonight. Have your way in our lives. We love you. Fill this place with power and the word of God. Lord, bless all the other churches, every preacher, every pastor, anybody trying to do anything for you. I pray you bless them. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Hold it just a second now before we go. I do.